It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What troubles in the German economy mean for the global economy? From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. We'll start in Europe, where Germany's central bank issued a report this week that the gloomy economic outlook is stifling Europe's largest economy. A no-deal Brexit, the U.S.-China trade war, and declining exports could help push Germany into a recession in the third quarter. For more on this, we turn to Jacob Kierkegaard, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what sectors of the economy are seeing the biggest declines right now?
It is predominantly the German industrial sector, meaning basically, which is a euphemism for the German export economy. There we have seen pretty significant declines that we haven't really seen since the beginning of the 2008-2009 global recession. We should remember, this is looking to be a very shallow recession in Germany. I mean, GDP may only decline by a fraction of a percent for two consecutive quarters.
If Germany is in decline, what does that mean for the weaker economies throughout the Eurozone?
Well, it is unambiguously bad news for many euro area economies because the supply chains inside Europe that ultimately supplies the inputs to many of the goods, first and foremost cars, that Germany exports, they're obviously going to take a hit as well. That is bad news for, I mean, basically all of Germany's neighboring countries are more or less tied into the German industrial economy. So the ripple effects from this will be because the recession in Germany is concentrated in this area, will actually be quite significant for the neighboring countries.
And just very quickly, beyond Europe, how could this affect America and other global markets?
The fact that the two largest economies in the world, namely the United States and China, have been engaging in this accelerating trade war, whereas, at least in their own opinion, the Europeans have been sort of the ones defending the existing multilateral trading system. Well, if Europe now becomes consumed in its own domestic economic crisis, it will not be able to do so perhaps quite as vigorously. So longer-term damages potentially to the global trading system may be accelerated by the timing of this European downturn.
That was Jacob Kierkegaard, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Some of the news driving the market this morning: reports that U.S. Steel is planning temporary layoffs for hundreds of workers in Michigan. Temporary for now, but the company warns the layoffs could last longer than 6 months. We also have quarterly earnings from Home Depot, which beat profit estimates, but also cut its long-term sales outlook because of trade concerns. That echoes what we've heard from lots of companies in recent earnings reports, and from Julian Emanuel, Chief Equity and Derivative Strategist at BTIG.
Well, the trade war has definitely had an impact, no question about it. Obviously, it's been larger in international markets than it has been in the U.S. But from our point of view, we think that the policy response from both the Fed and the White House is taking into account that some of this weakness is washing ashore. So what we do expect, and we've seen some of it the last few days, is an inkling towards greater easing. We think the Fed could potentially cut 50 basis points in September, as well as a reconciliation of the trade differences with China at some point between now and year end. And we think that would be supportive.
That's Julian Emanuel, Chief Equity and Derivative Strategist at BTIG.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Tesla is trying to reinvigorate its solar panel business. Over the past year, the company has had a big drop in the number of solar installations it's performing. Now, Tesla plans to offer systems for a monthly rental payment instead of a large upfront cost. Marketplace's Jack Stewart looks at the impact this move could have on the solar industry.
Tesla's rental plan might attract customers who don't plan on being in their house for the 12-plus years it takes to break even on buying a system, says Costa Samaras at Carnegie Mellon University.
What Tesla is doing is trying to continue the notion of solar panels as a service.
Tesla's solar rentals are available in six states. The smallest system costs $50 a month or $65 in California, but Tesla calculates it'll produce roughly $80 worth of electricity a month. Tesla does have competition from Vivint Solar, Sunrun, and other established players who offer leases and power purchase agreements, which are designed to reduce upfront costs. But Tonsi Whalen at NYU says Tesla's plan is simpler.
They're coming up with a model that will make it easier for consumers to access residential solar and also potentially drive more competition in the space.
Tesla's betting on long-term revenue here and missing out on short-term cash from sales. So the question, as always with Tesla, is this sustainable? I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
Our producers are Rose Conlon, Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Janaki Mehta, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.